A recent Podimon Institute survey revealed that 47% of healthcare IT organizations faced ransomware attacks in the past 2 years. The attacks resulted in patient care complications and 45% reporting issues during medical procedures, an increase of 36% in 2021. Our guest today is Walter Zabluski. He is the founder and executive director of Aerosint, and he is going to share with us about the software bill of materials as required as part of the $1.7 trillion Omnibus Appropriations Act that was passed in December 29th of 2022. Walter, welcome into our program today. Recent Podimon Institute survey revealed that 47% of healthcare IT organizations faced ransomware attacks in the past 2 years. The attacks resulted in patient care complications and 45% reporting issues during medical procedures, an increase of 36% in 2021. Our guest today is Walter Zabluski. He is the founder and executive director of Aerosint, and he is going to share with us about the software bill of materials as required as part of the $1.7 trillion Omnibus Appropriations Act that was passed on December 29th of 2022. Will you tell me some of the factors that have led to such a high number of cybersecurity breaches across the healthcare sector, and you know, how that plays into the requirement that now we have the SBOM?
Okay, now the SBOM sounds like it's something very, very minor. It's pronounced SBOM, the Software Bill of Materials, and it's literally a bomb in cybersecurity because it redefines everything we've done in cybersecurity. The SBOM is a requirement that when you purchase a piece of hardware or software, the manufacturer of the hardware or the software gives you a bill of materials of what's in the software and the hardware. This is revolutionary because up until now, they didn't have to do that.
Is this being brought on by a concern that some of the hardware and software being built today just might be bugged?
What this acknowledges is that not that it might be bugged, but that it is bugged.
Yeah, that's scary because that explains why there have been so many security breaches at healthcare facilities all across the country. And I'm talking about involving millions of patients.
Exactly. Up until now, just imagine when you buy a donut or when you buy some whatever food, there's a list of ingredients on that. That's, quote, not new, but 100 years ago, there was no list of ingredients. When you bought food, you had no idea what was in that food, but most of the food was manufactured locally and people took care of themselves. They wouldn't put poison in the food. But as food evolved and food manufacturing evolved, you really didn't know what people would put in your food, what chemicals were there. So you had to list the ingredients. What the SBOM does for hardware and software is force manufacturers to tell you what's in the software. And now people realize that 70 to 80, almost maybe 90% of the software you purchase contains what is called open source software. So the manufacturer does not write that software. They just grab the software off the internet. If they want to function, they'll take a piece of chunk of software, incorporate it into their software package, make everything function, and sell it to you. Now, the open source software may contain, let me not say may, does contain vulnerabilities and functionality that you may not fully understand. Now, you incorporate those vulnerabilities into your software, And prior to the SBOM, you didn't have to tell your client what you've incorporated into there. So the client is moving along, dumb and happy, thinking that they bought the software from a legitimate operation, everything is fine, but it's not fine. It's full of vulnerabilities. It's full of functions that you don't know about. And the hackers exploit those functions because the hackers know what you're buying, and they can easily, knowing that, factor in their hack to take advantage of those functionality.
Well, I guess if you had some kind of software that was, say, mixing chocolate candy at the candy store, you probably would be okay.
Oh,
go ahead.
It won't be okay. There was a hack, a famous hack of a Las Vegas casino through the thermostat that regulated the temperature of the aquarium. How's that?
I can see right off the bat that that's not going to end well.
No, it's not going to end well at all, because when a manufacturer, say a hospital buys a thermometer that's Wi-Fi connected, the manufacturer will place a chip into that piece of hardware and program the functionality into that chip to log on to a local network to start sending data. But that chip has much more functionality than the person is using, because they'll buy a chip from a catalog. That chip is a full-blown computer on a little chip. It has memory, it has an operating system, it has access to the internet, has access to Wi-Fi. You're maybe using 5-10% of the functionality of that chip to manage your thermometer. The hacker will know that, will hack into the thermometer and use that thermometer as a base of operations to hack your whole network. That's why you manufacturers now, through the SBOM, the Software Bill of Materials, have to tell the client or the purchaser what's in there so that their cybersecurity folks can work around it. And that's why the SBOM is so revolutionary. Now, from another point of view, from a software point of view, the recent hack of a major company was through a functionality called Log4j. Now, that sounds like weird, right? Log4j. What can that possibly be?
Got me.
That's right. Okay. Java is a programming language, a very common programming language. It's supported by Oracle, I believe, and it's a very common programming language. When you're programming in Java, there's some of your programming, and you want a function. For example, I want to log certain items. If there's a mistake in the program, I want it to log an error code into this log file. So later on, I can look at that log file, and using that log file, I could diagnose what's going on. It's a very good functionality. So I go onto the internet, and I get a function called log, a logging function for my Java program. And you download that software, and you put it into your program. So now your program has a logging function. So if something crashes, it says, okay, it crashed on this. It just maintains a log of every. It's a diagnostic system, and it's very nice. So you take Log4j, you place it into your program, and now your program has that, and you move on.
You are the founder and the executive director of Arisyn. Tell me about that.
Okay, I'll tell you about that. Arisyn started about 25 years ago. And 20 years ago, I changed the name of the company from GCI to Arisyn. But we've been involved in cybersecurity for 25 years now. One of our major clients was the British Ministry of Defense in England. That was one of our first clients. So we've been working on cybersecurity, on IT asset management, managing computers for the longest time. many, many major companies use our software to assist in cybersecurity. So from a cybersecurity point of view, we've developed so many tools, we've developed processes, so we've been heavily involved in cybersecurity. And myself as a developer, as an individual, can understand why we're having so many issues in cybersecurity. You would think that after 30, 40 years of running PCs and networks, we would have solved cybersecurity. But we haven't. Things aren't getting better. They're getting worse.
How can our listeners get in touch with the Aerosint if they want to get added protection for their computer operating systems?
Well, you can come to our website and, you know, just go to info@aerosint.com.
Our guest today, Walter Zablowski. He is the founder and executive chairman of Aerosint.